Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
You're talking about the prophetic. He's outside preaching, you know, it's 5,000 people, and some 22-year-old comes up and says, "I defy your God. If there's a God in heaven, let him strike me down dead." And the Spirit of God rose up in this apostle and said, "You will not take six steps unless you repent without dropping down dead with a heart attack." He had this happen several times. And in mockery, 5,000 people went, "One, two, ha, 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 ha." By the fifth, sixth step, he dropped down dead with a heart attack. A 22-year-old died right there. And 5,000 people hit their knees on the grass. Wouldn't you?
Now, here's your host.
Today, we are presenting with Dr. James Maloney. The one thing about Dr. Maloney, his ministry is to share and to give what he has to you. What he has learned and the anointing that God's put on him, he is imparting that to you, the listener, today. So he's talking to you. That's his ministry. Go on, Dr. Maloney.
I'm 18. I'm in Bible school, okay? The first true apostle that I ever met, I mean, a true apostle. Now, you read my book because I give you the signs of what a true apostle are. And a lot of people that are saying that they're apostles aren't. Okay? And my revelation came from five appearances from the Lord Jesus. The whole book is written because of five appearances from the Lord Jesus that taught me about what the true signs of an apostle are. So, this was a true apostle. Now, this real quick. And the guy comes out on the platform, you know, and we're on the edge of our seat. Notebook out, pen, pencil, you know how it is. I mean, we're ready. "God, I'm giving my whole life to you." You know, wow. And I sit up in the front row. And, you know, here I am, just ready to hear this message. And this guy comes out. All right, now picture this. He's got green pants on. This is the truth. He had a black jacket, red shirt, yellow tie, and the socks didn't match. One white, one blue. Ugliest man I've ever seen in my life. Had these freckles the size of dimes all over his face. Wiry red hair sticking up everywhere. And because he had been beaten up 50 times, every time he'd get a new set of false teeth, they'd bust his teeth out. So he just forgot it and just didn't have any teeth. So he preached with no front teeth. Well, could you imagine sitting up in the front with no front teeth? Spit flying everywhere. So the next day, it was so hilarious because we that were sitting in the front, there was this great gulf of emptiness in the center. Spit flying everywhere. Always trying to wipe off those freckles. Now, he was a child prodigy in the early motion picture era. He was one of the little rascals. And he was the one that wore the crown, the bully. And he had a third grade education, so he couldn't read. So when he got saved at 14, in 6 months, God taught him how to read just by reading the Bible. But not only did God teach him how to read, but God gave him a photographic memory. I'll tell you who he is in just a moment. And the man had the entire New Testament memorized, 95% of the Old Testament memorized, and the book of Revelation, we tested him on it, he could read it backwards. Because he would see the page and he could read it backwards. And he would go to the radical campuses on the West Coast, like Berkeley, and he'd build this, with his own money, 2x4 rafters and this little platform. It had his little old PA system, and in front of the Black Panthers and all of the radicals of the 60s and all, he would preach. Now, this man didn't preach love, though he loved people greatly. He preached hell, fire, and brimstone. I know I went with him one time, group of 50 students, to the University of Texas at Arlington. And I'll never forget, he gets up on this high platform. There's a point in this illustration. He gets up on a high platform right in the common square outside. Everybody's having lunch. About 600 students. And he gets up on this platform. You know, you got to look at this guy. I mean, you're talking about a sign that made you wonder. No teeth. Ugly. Ears sticking out. The guy was just a mess. You know, and he would start preaching. You're a generation of snakes and vipers. You're going to slither in hell for all eternity. And your worm is not going to die. Bless your dirty hearts. He's preaching hellfire. And he had this amazing word of knowledge and wisdom operation, because some of these great PhDs would come up to him and throw out these questions that not even God could answer. And God would give him the supernatural answer that the professors, it only could have been God that would have given him the formula. And many professors got saved over that. Atheists and agnostics. I mean, amazing words of wisdom. Just incredible. I mean, just humorous. The answer. One time he was standing up there, and I was there. He's preaching hellfire and brimstone. So the dean of women came out. I think it was a woman, and came up to. Is this being live streamed? And came up and stood in front of him and said, "How dare you tell us we got to worship and serve another god? There's no other gods besides us. Get down off of that platform." And I'll never forget, I'm standing right next to him. I'm wondering what's politically correct and how to preach. 18, impressionable. And this apostle going to all of these campuses, been beaten up over 100 times. He looks at her and he says, "Shut up, whore." I said, "Can you say that?" And I'll never forget this. He named first name and last name of 7 of her lovers. I don't think they were all males. And she just dropped her head, dropped her mouth, started shaking. You talk about a word of knowledge. You're talking about the prophetic. He's outside preaching, you know, it's 5,000 people, and some 22-year-old comes up and says, "I defy your God. If there's a God in heaven, let him strike me down dead." And the Spirit of God rose up in this apostle and said, "You will not take 6 steps unless you repent without dropping down dead with a heart attack." He had this happen several times. And in mockery, 5,000 people went, 1, 2, ha, 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 ha. By the 5th, 6th step, he dropped down dead with a heart attack. A 22-year-old died right there. And 5,000 people hit their knees on the grass. Wouldn't you? So some of these hippies got saved out of fear. Read the book of Jude. Not just compassion. So they said, "You know what? We got to tell our hippie friends down in Southern California." So you remember those green hippie buses? So about 10 of them trekked down from Berkeley, Northern California, down to Southern California, Costa Mesa, telling the hippie friends, "This man up here pronounced death upon this. I don't want to die. We got saved because we don't want to die either." So they went to the home and said, "You know, you better repent of your sins or you're going to die." So about 20 of them fell on their knees and gave their lives to the Lord. "I don't want to die with a heart attack." So Chuck Smith, you know, a 40-member church, Calvary Chapel, couldn't figure out in a metropolitan area of 16 million why he had 40 members. And so he said, "God, what do I do to see an increase in this church?" And God spoke to him and he said, "If I bring them in, will you receive them no matter how they dress or how they smell?" He said, absolutely. So those hippies that got saved out of fear because of the apostle up there in Berkeley campus came out to Calvary Chapel, and they wouldn't sit in the pews, so they sat on the carpet, and it upset the elders, or, you know, the deacons of the church, because they just put the carpet down. It was brand new, and they were soiling the carpet where they were seated because they hadn't bathed in a year. But he received them, and they got angry, and he said, if the carpet is in the way, remove it. And they rolled up the carpet, and the very next week, I came and became a part of that gathering. Now, I was bathed. I came and was a part of that, and it went from 40 to 50 to 1,800 in 3 weeks, and baptized 1,000 people in the Pacific Ocean. And the Jesus movement started. You never heard that before. Because of an apostle who was a sign that made people wonder. That got beaten up every time he'd stand up to preach. They had just beat him to a pulp. And he'd get up and just forgive them. Spitting blood and teeth and everything else. And build the altar and build it right back up and get back up there and preach. And they knew. After a while, they knew he loved them. And some of those hippies that I got saved with, they're pastoring some of the largest churches in Southern California, Northern California. Are you willing to be a Jonah? Are you willing to be a sign that makes people wonder? In the spiritual is what I'm talking about. Listen, I want to see greater things, but it's not so much what I want to see. It's what needs to be released and imparted within this wonderful congregation in this region. It's what must happen through you. Amen? Because it's just some of the greatest miracles you're going to hear of are going to be from individuals you would have least expected that God would use them. He loves that. And you know what? Most of them are imperfect. Still need a little bit of sanctification. Got to work on them. But it doesn't minimize the importance of God using them. Jonah fled from the presence of God. God still used him. Did you hear that? Had to go through a little breaking. You know, that's what some of you are going through right now. Haven't you done some dumb things? I really believe there's a spirit of stupid out in the church world today. No, I'm serious. Raise your hands without wrath, without doubting. Come on, worship him right now. Just say, Lord, help me to become a spiritual Rambo in the end times. Help me know who I am in you. Find my identity. Take my life and turn it around and use it for your glory and honor. Take all of what I've gone through, the names of hurts, wounds, and bruises, and all the traumas of life that we've all gone through, and redeem them. And let it be used as something that so develops within us a confidence. Right now, I want you to receive a baptism of confidence right now. That's the only way I can describe it to you. Confidence is just... Confidence is a baptism in confidence. Oh, come on, worship him right now. Just worship him. Just say, Lord, I need that confidence. I need that confidence. Let's get beyond what people think. Let's get beyond it. Be concerned about what is pleasing to the Lord, what he wants us to enter into. If anything that's going to be accomplished, and I believe it's going to be a restoration of identity as the people of God. Hallelujah. All week, just the word identity. Identity. The people of God. Let go of the past. Get over it. We're inner healed, going around in a circle, being inner healed. I'm not minimizing the importance of inner healing. I'm just saying, it's just time. It's over. It's done. It's your new person, a new creation. Live in the present. Live for what God's got for you for the future. Let go. Now, ladies, gentlemen, how do you change a Nineveh? How do you change a community, a society? Hear this. You got to be willing to allow God to make you peculiar, to make you graphic, to bring the needed impact in the society that we live in. See, the problem in the church world is we want miracles, but we want them to be respectable. I want to be healed, but I don't want to fall. I'm not saying you have to fall, but how many know if God wants you to fall, you're going to fall. And none of this pushy stuff. This preacher doesn't push. God doesn't need your help. God will make you peculiar, to make you graphic, to bring the needed impact. Now, how would you like to spend 3 days and three nights in the stomach dye juices of Jaws? Could you imagine what Jonah must have looked like, let alone smell like? Burped out on the beach, half-digested clothing, probably didn't have a stitch of hair on his body, all white, looked like some albino raisin on two legs. I mean, he made E.T. look tolerable. And comes up to you in Nineveh, looking like that, smelling like that, and say, repent! Wouldn't you? Wake up, Jonas! It's the foolish things of the world that confound the wise. If you're concerned about your reputation, hopefully it's been gloriously ruined. I understand the scripture in Proverbs. God gives you favor in the sight of God and man. I understand that, but not at the expense of the anointing. You've been marked a long time ago. Just get over it. It's like my dad came up to me the other day, 90 years of age. 90! I tease him, God, when is he going to die? When am I going to get my inheritance? Always tease him. Because he's got a 62-year-old girlfriend. My dad doesn't know one scripture in the Bible, but the enemy has made sure he knows this one. Well, King David had a young lady that wrapped herself around him, you know, to keep him warm at night. He's got that scripture down. Only one he knows in the Bible. So my dad hadn't set foot in a church in 70 years. So his previous girlfriend, who was a missionary Baptist, how many know there are Baptists, then there's missionary Baptists. Missionary Baptist, get saved, get saved, get saved, get saved, get saved. He got so sick of it, he dumped her. But anyway, she said, if you don't go to your son's meeting, I'm not going to date you anymore. I don't care how you get him in. So he sits way in the back. So I remember before the service, I said, God, please, isn't this terrible to have to tell you this? Don't let him get blown away. Lord Jesus, give me opportunity to explain to him some of these manifestations. And he doesn't know. He's never set foot in a church in his life, let alone one of our meetings. And this is a great church, and the pastor is just dignified and respectable. And he gets up, and as he gets up, he starts swooning. And went, boom! And the whole worship team went, boom! And my dad always told me, he said, don't you ever become one of those holy rollers. And so for the next 2 hours, God is my witness. 300 of these people were rolling on the front. My dad's eyes were like this. He didn't run out. His girlfriend, Missionary Baptist, was under the chair. I said, Lord, I got to go home and I've got to face my dad. After the service, I said, Dad, what'd you think? Well, he says that one thing, son, I can say, you sure to believe in having fun. Y'all, it's like a three-ring circus. The next night, he's halfway sitting there in the aisle, only seat he could find on the edge. Now, this is what I term, I got a message, a great message called Divine Setups. Teach my students Divine Setups. Most of the miracles, great miracles you will see will be setups. You stumble into them. No, it's really the truth. And so he's sitting on the corner there, and this woman in a wheelchair, paralyzed from waist down, hadn't walked in 12 years, sits right next to him. And all of a sudden, as I start ministering, her legs start going. And she prayed earlier. She said, God, if you'll just heal me. I haven't been able to dance for you for 12 years, but if you'll heal me, I'll dance with you with all of my might. I just want to get healed so I can dance. I miss dancing for you. And all of a sudden, her legs in the... And she looks at my dad. She says, I'm getting healed. She pulls her legs, you know, out and pulls the pedals up and says, here goes, boom, and she starts dancing. And then all of a sudden, she says, I need something to dance with. And grabs my dad and starts, oh, my God. Oh, man, they're going all over the place. I said, that did it. The next night, he's in the front row. And a lady comes up who had a cancer this size, protruding out of her dress, huge goiter. And my dad, on his own, got up and put his nose right there. And it just disappeared in front of him. And he shook. And he looked at me. And he always used to tell me, when are you going to get a real job? I never heard from him again.
Wow, that was wonderful, Dr. Maloney. He has experience.
That's what it's all about. And it just seems like that we have, as a whole in the body of Christ, measured our level of experientialism in our love towards Him and He towards us. You know, it's like this. I know the Lord knows us, but let me pose this question to you. Is the Lord knowing you? It's not just about Sunday morning worshiping Him corporately. It's every single day that there's that therapy. That's the problem in the church, is that we're not experiencing the therapy of God. That was one of the Greek definitions for Jesus' earthly healing ministry, therapeuo. When the leper was healed of leprosy, how many know he had more of an issue than just something physically wrong with them or her? Obviously, they had rejection issues, loneliness. Many of them lived in caves. I'll never forget this gentleman led a group of, there's two. There was one that led a group of blind people on a rope, about 50 of them, 4 days. To get to the crusade. 4 days. I had to pray for their feet that were all torn up and cut up before I prayed for their blindness. Do you think those blind people went away not healed? 4 days he led them to the crusade because they heard about a man from America. There's a man from America that's going to talk about a God that he serves that can open up the blinded eyes. And half of those people that were being led had been blind from birth. So could you imagine someone that had never seen before? The first man I prayed for was 35 years of age, had never seen before. And all of a sudden, I prayed for him, and his eyes were open, and the first thing he saw was me. Why are you laughing? You know what he did? He went, I would too, you know. Then there was this other man that was going out into the caves and bringing the lepers and exposing himself to that disease, but he didn't care. And of course, the thousands that were there, the lepers were kept over in a corner, just kept over in a corner. And I'll never forget, finally, this one lady who had been a leprous lady for decades. She didn't have any fingers. All her toes were eaten away. Didn't really have a nose, no ears, just completely contagious. She broke loose. And everybody started screaming, "She's contagious, she's contagious." And I'm praying for one of these blind people, you know. And she comes up. I didn't notice it. I was consumed with praying for this blind person. But she came up, broke loose, and came up and took those putrefied fingers that had open sores, stubs for fingers, and took my hand. They couldn't stop her. Lifted my hand off the face of the man who was blind and flopped my hand right on top of her forehead with all of those open sores. And the first thing the devil said was, "You have the leprosy." And to be quite honest with you, I did not want to lay hands on her. I wanted to be like Jesus, you know, from a distance telling the lepers, just obey my word, just go and show yourself to the priest, and as they went, they were healed. I didn't want to have my hand on those open sores. I said, "Lord," and then I heard Jesus say, "I laid hands on the lepers." And do you know that lady needed more than just the healing of leprosy? She needed that human touch of acceptance and love. That she was loved for just who she was, just the way that she was, and that Jesus would change her, and she was completely healed. You say, how do you know she was healed? Because 6 months later, I go back to that area following up, because there were virtually 250 churches established in that area, in that ethnic group, for the first time in human history that was reached. Guess who the moms adopted as the babysitter for all of the little children? Because we would have the ladies, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 of them seated. They would have their children. They would be taught. We'd have the men. They would be seated. They would be taught. But, you know, when it came time, you know, when the meals were given out to the people, guess who became the babysitter to a lot of those little children? Was that leprous lady. And what was so amazing was that God gave her a sense of purpose. They loved her. She would wrestle with those kids. She had no leprosy, and they loved her. She loved them. I mean, God gave her a sense of destiny and purpose. And also, she was 3/4 way in the process of her fingers and toes being completely restored. Her nose and ears and all was completely restored to normalcy. Hallelujah. That's hug therapy. What I'm saying is he knowing you? You have been created for his pleasure.
Today's broadcast, we feature the late Dr. James Maloney as he's teaching in Manassas, Virginia.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.